Breakfast on 702 for the curious on 92.7 and 106 FM.
So many of us have experienced various things in our lives where we've tried to be resilient. It may have been in an early part of our lives or when we were adults, and those things have been shocking. Someone asked me, Wasanga, why do you love talking about bestiality? And I was like, I don't love talking about it. At a young age, I was exposed to this via another gentleman at school. And it's those kind of things that are shocking to the mind. And as a parent, when you are faced with so many things that are out of your reach, you wonder how to respond. And profoundly, the answer to that is I'm traumatized. It's a traumatic event. But to tell us a bit more about the happenings of the mind, especially our schools, we're talking about the security of a school. We're talking about educators now. We don't talk about teachers because they need to be so much and more. Lloyd Ripley Evans is our guest and he's an educational psychologist. Lloyd, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show. How are you this fine morning?
Very well in yourself, Asanda. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So, Lloyd, there's that comparison. I remember sitting in a classroom in sub B. I think it's great. I won't put myself in that pressure, but I was sitting in the classroom and we used to talk about how horrible the teachers are in UK, how, you can't imagine you'd do that, to a teacher. And we now are in a situation where there's a huge crisis with our education. Can you explain to us exactly some of the things that happen? You know, a child may come to school physically. They might be ready, but they're not really mentally and all those other aspects. What is emotional and psychological trauma? Maybe we can just start with the definitions.
All right, perfect. Well, you know, sometimes psychological and emotional trauma, the terms are used interchangeably to talk to the same thing. But we can refer to emotional trauma as the traumas that somebody can go through, obviously related far more on an emotional level, where there's no physical physical threat, but there's some significant, possibly neglect, rejection, embarrassment, intimidation, that sort of emotional bullying, so to speak. And that is often referred to as emotional trauma. But the psychological trauma is really the sort of impact of going through significant trauma. Mm. It's how our brain tries to process or actually doesn't process the information that is received through that traumatic experience. You know, trauma is often the result of somebody experiencing extremely overwhelming stress that goes far beyond their own ability to cope and, very importantly, integrate the emotions that they experience through that time, you know, into their own functioning. And that often results in sort of delayed symptoms or long-term effects on that individual.
How do we know if you yourself have been traumatized or your child is traumatized at all?
This becomes quite a bit more difficult when you're looking at trying to understand if somebody has been traumatized or ourselves, because trauma is something so unique and specific to the individual. Just because a group of individuals all experience a potentially traumatizing situation, it doesn't mean that everybody is going to be traumatized. You know, trauma is a person's unique experience. It's a person's unique almost inability to process what has happened. Mm. So that is something that we need to bear in mind, parents need to bear in mind, that just because your child experienced something quite significant, it doesn't mean that they are going to be traumatized. Mm. But some of the things that we can look for, and it's certainly not, you know, just because your child does experience some of these symptoms or as an adult you experience it, it doesn't mean you are traumatized. But some of the things that we can look for post a traumatic experience is, you know, is it a change in their behavior? Are we noticing that they're quite a bit more reserved, a bit more withdrawn? Do they avoid engagement in certain situations? Do we notice a change in their self-concept or their self-worth, how they feel about themselves? There might be potential self-harm that we notice, or suicidal ideation, or talking about hurting themselves. Mm. There might be a defiance that comes out, where they might start breaking the rules, they might start acting out, which is quite uncharacteristic of them. Mm. We might notice increased anxiety, increased depression, or depression symptoms. We may see their work struggling, their self-care might deteriorate, sleeping patterns might change. You know, the list goes on and on. There's so many potential ways that trauma can affect us. Mm. I think the important thing, though, is to consider how has this person changed, and what is the reasoning or potential reasoning behind the change. Is it post a traumatic event? Then there might be an element of trauma that we need to explore further.
What about young boys? Boyhood in itself, I come from the Eastern Cape, and there's a rite of manhood that you go through, especially. But one thing that I noticed, if these situations come from childhood itself, boyhood in the Eastern Cape, there's a saying that ikwekwe inja, which means that a boy is a dog. And of course, it depends the context with that. Dogs aren't treated too well in the villages and rural areas. Mm-hmm. If as a young boy, you're not allowed to identify with positive references, what effect can that have when you become an adult and how you engage with women?
You know, childhood trauma or childhood experiences of traumatic events can have a very, very significant impact on an individual as they grow up. You know, we've got to bear in mind that children, the child's brain is developing at a significant rate, particularly at the very young years. Mm. And any impact, you know, trauma, and there's a lot of research, neuroscience research into the changes in brain development and the physical structuring of the brain that can develop after experiencing significant and often prolonged trauma in early childhood. And obviously that impacts how we function on a cognitive level, how we function on an emotional level, how we relate to other individuals. So from a childhood experience perspective, there can be significant impact for that child. Significant factors which determine how a child or a person will respond to trauma is some of these protective factors which, we have, the internal and external factors. Mm. And they essentially condition around us or attributes, you know, our internal skills, our internal resources, the support that we have around us, the engagements and relationships that we have. You know, you use the example of this rite of passage.
Yeah.
If this young man is in a family has a family or support system, which is able to provide him the emotional grounding and help him work through some of these feelings, then he may not experience any long-term effects of it, and he can sort of pass through it unscathed.
Mm.
Unfortunately, a lot of the time, people look at children and they don't notice, the struggles that children go through.
Mm.
And so feelings get, trauma gets left unresolved, unfortunately.
We saw with the case of the young boys in Parktown who were sexually abused by the water polo coach that there was a secrecy, because we want to get these young boys help and understand the trauma they experienced and obviously find justice for them, the parents as well. And going about it was difficult because we find a lot of secrecy, and we know that acceptance is one of the biggest human currencies. So now you're in this environment where snitching, which means telling, is not a good thing. Can you tell us about the effects that has in the conflicting emotions that are felt by a young boy? Because the emotional realm itself is about that acceptance.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, and it is a little bit more specific with boys, as you mentioned there, that there is this tendency to number one, sort of keep the secrets that are happening. That whole phrase of snitches get stitches, and it's something that we hear in being shared by young boys very regularly.
Yeah.
But absolutely, I think there's two sides to it. There's one side that, in terms of the actual experience of what they went through, and not specific to those boys, but just generally, that there might be an element of secrecy, not wanting to share. There's the embarrassment of the experience, and a whole lot of other emotions about the experience as a whole.
Mm.
And then on the other side of that, we've got the very personal experience that individual is going through. And I know we've spoken about it personally on the show, but just in terms of seeking help, very often young men and males in particular struggle to ask for help, to recognize that they actually need help. And unfortunately, this is something that we as a society need to normalize for young men and children, just to show that it's okay if we're not doing okay, and it's okay to ask for help. And sometimes we can't do it alone, and we need to seek help.
We're on the line with Lloyd Ripley-Evans, an educational psychologist, and he's explaining to us the effects and exactly what educate the difference between with the psychological and emotional trauma, if it has any effects in childhood itself, and how it permeates into the adult environment. And we'll be back with him, and he'll be giving us a few more answers in this very important topic after the break.
The perfect companion exists every weekend when you wake up with 702. She greets you with a smile.
Welcome to Weekend Breakfast. So excited to be here.
And listens to you. She has all the news, sport, weather, and updates you need. Sharing it with you, getting you ready for your weekend. Wake up with Refilwe Mpakanyane on Weekend Breakfast. Saturdays and Sundays, 6 to 10 a.m. only on 702. For the curious.
It's not just coming up with the best digital innovations. It's knowing which network provider will help you do that. At Liquid Telecom, we've been developing the region's largest and most advanced fiber network, stretching over more than 70,000 kilometers. We're the connection partner, bringing connectivity, co-location, and cloud-based services to African enterprises. Visit liquidtelecom.com to see why we're at the forefront of telecoms innovation. Liquid Telecom, building Africa's digital future.
Did you know that the Hatfield Motor Group has three state-of-the-art Audi dealerships? That's right, three fantastic dealerships that all have one thing in common, you. Because as our customer, you'll become part of the Hatfield Motor Group family. We offer top quality new, used, and demo vehicles. Our in-house finance experts will assist with your vehicle finance applications. And you'll get an excellent trade-in on your current car. We also deliver nationwide. HatfieldAudi.co.za in Rivonia, Bromfontein, and Hatfield. Rated number one in service.
Do you have the motor plan doesn't cover that headache, or the no more medical aid funds palpitations? Whatever's hurting your pocket, Gold Capital has the remedy. Turn your Krugerrands, gold jewelry, and luxury Rolex watches into a cash injection. South Africa's trusted gold brokers will offer you the best price guaranteed and a no obligation quote. Yes, you get the best treatment at Gold Capital. Visit goldcapital.co.za, South Africa's trusted gold brokers since 1992.
Early Breakfast, 7:02, This Morning.
On the line with Lloyd Ripley-Evans, our educational psychologist. Thank you once again, Lloyd, for joining us this morning.
Such a pleasure.
So we are in a country where we have a history of violence. It's a bloody history that we have. And we've managed to negotiate some form of democracy and freedom, and we are healing. And a lot of the times we find ourselves paying the repercussions of that. We have on one side adults who have been traumatized and haven't been debriefed about some of the atrocities they were victims and targets of, and some of the atrocities that they meted out under the illegitimate government. And we have young children who are growing up with parents who also have experienced that, who cannot engage in ways except violence. We've got the spanking law, which was taken away. We see now parents are not, and educators have been challenged on how to discipline children. So, Lloyd, in this complex cycle and whatever you want to call it, and this complex mix, we're trying to really understand where it comes from. Is it possible? What are the circumstances for people who have been traumatized, and how do they find healing?
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned a couple of important points there. Very quickly on the relationship between a parent or an adult with a child. Where an adult has been traumatized and it's unresolved trauma, very often what can happen is there can be a traumatizing of their own children just through their experience, their sharing, their engagement with their child. Sure. And that can almost pass on trauma to the next generation. And I think we see quite a lot of that, where children are being sort of subtly traumatized through the engagements with adults in their lives. And then, yes, we live in quite an intense a country with a lot going on, a long history. Mm. And unfortunately, children are also being exposed to that almost on a daily basis.
Yep.
And it's almost the new norm to experience such significant violence and other atrocities in the news. Yep. And unfortunately, that does have such an impact on the individuals. But it is important that we recognize this as a problem and that we start seeking help. There's an author, and I encourage all the listeners to read into or to look into Peter Levine.
Mm.
He's written numerous books on trauma. And what I really like about his work is he emphasizes the relationship between the mind and the body with regards to dealing with trauma.
Mm.
That trauma and dealing with trauma is not only a mental thing. There's a significant physical element to it in our body. And how our bodies process trauma actually sits very much in the body space too.
Mm.
And I think that's something that we need to bear in mind, that, you know, we can't lump this all and it's a mental thing. And, you know, there's only very specific things you can do. There's so many ways that we can help ourselves deal with trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But as you mentioned earlier, the first thing is actually accepting that there's a need for help, or at least having our support system help us recognize that. And then just very quickly in terms of some forms of treatment which are very effective, CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy is often regarded as one of the most effective therapies to help deal with trauma. So, you know, that's often where when people speak to their therapists or counselors or somebody looking for help, they're often referred to CBT or engage in a CBT type approach. And it just helps process the information that's a little bit different to some other psychotherapies. But essentially, you know, treating the trauma and dealing with the trauma, an individual needs to allow themselves to process the trauma-related memory that exists or that had developed, and really work through so much in order to help them heal.
Mm.
And it's certainly, depending on the extent of the trauma, there's no quick fix for this. This is this requires some hard work and dedication from the individual.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lloyd. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we really needed to have this discussion. Thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, and have a great day.
Cheers, Lloyd. Same to you.